the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Foods Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's Thursday night. I got ready to say Friday night, Jeffy. It's Thursday night. Plum the Foods Live right here on Squeaker Radio. It's your boy, Chef Plum, Chef Jeff.
Feels like a Friday.
It does feel like a Friday a little bit. Welcome, everybody. We're excited you're here. Thank you for taking time out of your day, out of your Thursday, out of your thirsty Thursday, Jeffy. No, we can't.
Thirsty Thursday evening.
We're too old for that shit. We can't say things like that anymore, can we?
I don't know. It depends on what you're thirsting for.
Well, you know, I guess you're right. I'm thirsting for everything. That's what I'm telling you. Listen, tonight's going to be a great show. We were talking about it pre-show. It's almost like one of those that's going to be on autopilot. Chef Jason Santos, literally one of the nicest guys in food. One of my favorite chefs on the planet, is going to be on the program tonight. Coming in here, hanging out with us, man. He's gone through some stuff with some of his restaurants up there in Boston, so he said to come on and talk about it and tell us some of the stuff he's got going on, too. So I'm excited to have him on the show tonight, man. He's a good brother.
Going to be awesome. Really excited.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. And, of course, you know, Jeffy, you're here. I'm here. I'm sure Dave will be here. He's always late. He'll be here at some point, but, you know.
At some point, but
there's just so much stuff going on in the world right now, Jeffy. So much stuff going on. It almost feels weird to know where to start now when you start one of these programs, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it makes you question everything. You know, it's like, wow, I'm just keep working, keep smiling, keep hanging out with the family.
That's it. Keep practicing the art of hospitality. That's what I'm saying.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what we do, brother.
The art of hospitality.
Practicing the art of hospitality. Listen, it's important because, you know, when all this is said and done, I mean, what we do makes people happy, makes people feel good. So we got to, you know, maintain that and continue to do that through this crazy time that we're in right now.
Putting smiles on faces. That's what we do.
Smiles on faces and panty droppers on plates.
Bam!
I just realized that plates didn't really rhyme with that.
Didn't rhyme at all, but I threw the bam in there to make it, like,
you
power.
Where it's going, though.
Yeah, I knew exactly. You know, we don't have the rhyme set.
Of, you don't think I can rhyme? I can rhyme like a champion, Jeffy. Just not right now. I mean, I don't.
Yeah,
here's
I got
the thing.
You.
I'm not Dave and Dan. I'm not going to come on here and kick freestyle rhymes for free. I got told a long time ago, if you do something great, don't ever do it for free. So, I'm sticking with that, brother.
Nice, man. Nice.
That's right.
I like that.
You know, come on. I always got a plan. I got a plan. Listen, so restaurants are starting to reopen, you know, at least here in the Northeast, which is a good thing. I think some places have been open all over the place across the wonderful U.S. of A. But we're just starting to get some things reopened here, which is exciting and awesome. You know, how do you feel about it, Jeff? Do you feel any different about going to restaurants?
I don't really go out to eat much. You know, I work a lot, so I end up hanging out at home. And I'm like a homebody. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to go out to eat just to do it because other people are going to be doing it to, like, support the community and stuff. But, yeah, you know, my life hasn't affected much. I'm sort of a curmudgeon old man. I stay home. I work.
I don't know, I'm still looking forward to going and sitting on the water somewhere and having a cocktail.
I could do that right now, can't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, but just as of recently.
Oh, you mean at a restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. No, that's what I'm saying. I look forward to that kind of stuff. A date night would be amazing. Like, me and my wife haven't been on
like
a date.
Like, you and me, or?
No, yeah, well, that, too. I mean, we haven't done that in a long time. We haven't had a sleepover in almost 5 months, which is,
you
know.
Can you believe that? What are we
pretty
talking
crazy.
About here?
I know. I almost missed that couch.
That's right. Or do you miss the throwing up after drinking? What were you drinking? The sour beers? Jesus Christ.
I don't know. Several. Lots of them.
Several? He had several of them.
beers, officer.
It's going to be a great show tonight, man. We're looking forward to it. We're going to have a fun time talking to Chef and you know, talking about some other stuff. It should be great. Yo, checking out right here, checking in on the instant feedback. Our good brother Dimitri, aka Food Fire Knives, is checking in, and saying what's happening, and he says he's looking forward to going to breweries again. I can't blame him for that.
Oh yeah. I'm into all that. Even though I think breweries are delivering, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, but
I'm
like, still want to go there.
Yeah. Again, I like sitting on my couch, bro. You know what I mean? Like, if I can get fresh tapped brewery beers delivered to my face, I will take that.
Even grandpa like you has to go out sometime, though, Jeffy.
No, I love to go out. I'm fucking with you. You know what I mean? But I do appreciate that they're delivering. Yeah, my brother-in-law's brewery is going to be starting to... They're starting to pop off again up in Ithaca, which is really cool. I'm really happy for them. I know it's happening all over.
Right.
People are starting to get fired up. And I think people have been locked down for so long. I know out here in the Hamptons, I mean, you couldn't tell there was a pandemic except for all the masks.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's about the only... difference. I mean,
but I don't mind the mask. I don't, a lot of people. Everything can be back to kind of normal. You just have to wear a mask. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. You know what it is? I hate all that plastic surgery that I see. You know, so there's a lot of like number two noses and number six lips, and the cheeks. And right. They put that mask on, and I'm kind of like, all right.
It makes it look better. You're thinking, right?
Yeah. I'm like, you're looking kind of, you know. And then they take off the mask. You're like, ah! It's like, you know, what happened?
You know, good brother Dimitri on the instant feedback says they are delivering, but the draft beer is better. He just wanted to get that over to you.
Oh, good call, Dimitri. You sold me. Let's go.
There it is. He sold you on it. I got a little update, Jeffy, which I'm excited to give everybody.
Update.
Big ass update. Oh, yeah, I should play some like newsreel music or something. I'll let everybody know that I did sign paperwork with PBS. We made that positive. We made that public, which is okay, which is exciting.
Yep.
The new program, obviously, is going to start out actually on NPR, of all places, called Seasoned. It will eventually be a TV series here in the Northeast. But we're starting off as a radio program, which I was like, you guys sure you want to give me a live microphone to do radio? Have you heard the podcast?
Radio program.
But
radio.
They were like, yes, we do. And the air date for the first episode, Jeffy, is August 6th. How about that? Air date for Seasoned.
Super exciting.
Yeah.
I love NPR. I listen to NPR all the time.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. We're bringing a new flavor to it, which should be a lot of fun. They want a different vibe, a different feel. So you want a different feel, you come to your boy Chef Plum, and that's what they do.
What are you going to be like in between? Like, are you going to be like, it's going to be like smooth jazz and then Plum Seasoned?
It's going to be like this. I'm Chef Plum for All Things Considered. This is NPR.
Oh.
Not bad, right?
Sizzling hot.
Not bad. Chef Cinnamon chiming in saying congrats on the instant feedback. Thank you, Cinnamon. I appreciate that.
Cinnabuns.
That's right. But yeah, it should be a fun show, man. I'm excited about it. August 6th, it's going to be available everywhere. I'm stoked. I can't wait. It's funny. My first radio gig I ever did, Jeffy, was in college at VCU. I hosted a show called Plum and the Bald Guy when I was 19 years old. And it only took me 6 years to get my first real radio job.
It's awesome, dude.
My mask
seems like a hustle.
Mask off there a little bit, Jeffy.
What?
I said it took me 6 years to get my first real radio job, and never mind. The math was way off. It was an age joke, not AIDS joke. An age joke. Excuse me, real quick. I'll take care of that. Hold on. And moving on. So great program tonight. Chef Jason Santos is joining us. Dude, he's all over the place, man. I can't wait to talk to him again. He's a great, good brother, and he makes amazing food. He's going to be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. So, Jeffy, why don't we take a little breather here, step back. I'm going to pour myself a little more rosé, and we come back, have a conversation with good brother Jason Santos. How's that?
Yeah. Get yourself some rosé.
You know, don't make fun of me. I love rosé.
I love that you love rosé.
All right, I'm just checking. Stay right there. Plum Love Foods, right back. Chef Plum and Chef Jeff. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco, and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word is not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com.
Every 100 years, an idea comes along that changes the way we think.
It's one small step for man, one giant step for
man. It molds us as people, outlines social norms, and brings us full circle in life.
Go ahead, son. Fetch that cleaver and stump. It's time to take out that cock.
Mommy? Well, where does chicken meat come from?
Yeah, how do we kill these chicken to eat now when we raise them, Trevor?
A dream turned into a reality. So inspiring, so creative, it needs no introduction. Chef tested, poultry farmer approved, and endorsed by the Church of Jesus and Latter-day Saints. Introducing Cock Blocks, the first cutting board guillotine designed to lock in that cock just before you lop its top. Comes complete with ergodynamic blood pool, adjustable leather straps, three blade choices, and a face splatter shield just in case. Now you can take your cock harvesting to the next level. Take it to Cock Blocks.
Order now online, www.cockblocks.com. That's blocks with triple X. The first 100 orders will receive a free child-size splatter shield.
A Sizzle Plate product.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Coming back, Jeffy, Plum Love Foods Live. A little buttery beats in the background there. You hear that?
Oh, so smooth. So seductive.
So smooth. Tonight, our guest...
Turn me up in the headphones.
Turn up my headphones. I can't... Get my headphones.
You get nothing!
All right. tonight, our guest is literally one of my favorite chefs out there. He's an incredibly talented guy. He's one of the biggest hustlers I know when it comes to this industry. The man has got restaurants out the ass. He's opening two more right now. Not only that, he was a sous chef on Hell's Kitchen, I think the past two seasons, if I'm right about that. And he's also on Bar Rescue. All of that while still being married and trying to maintain that family life and handle all the business at home. One of my favorite guys there is in the business, one of the best guys there is to talk to in the business, the one and the only, Chef. You ready for this, Jeffy?
Go.
Jason Santos. Jason, Chef, how are you, man? Welcome to the program. Great to have you on here.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Cue the pyro. Cue the pyro.
Stellar. Oh, my God. That intro is unbelievable.
It's not bad, right? It's not bad. It's kind of professional.
Kidding me? Like $1 million.
There you go. Bro, it's great to hear your voice. Great to see how well you're doing with everything, man. You're killing the game right now. Listen, before we get into it, did you do two seasons of Hell's Kitchen as a sous chef? Is that what you told me?
Yeah, so it hasn't aired yet, but I filmed 36 episodes, season 19 and 20. Because of this whole COVID nonsense, it's been pushed back. It was supposed to air this summer, now potentially fall. I don't think anybody knows, but yes, that is correct. Next two seasons, standing next to Chef Gordon Ramsay all day, all night.
Did I give it away? Was I not supposed to say that, or is that okay?
No, it's cool. It's cool. All right. It's all good.
Well, it's pretty amazing. No secrets here. That's pretty amazing that you got to go do that, to go from being a contestant, to, you know, runner-up, and then... You know, now you're fucking sous chefing for him, which we want to get into that a little bit. But I mean, good for you, brother. That's fucking full circle.
Yeah, it was a good time, I guess. It was pretty intense. I mean, that dude is seriously intense.
No doubt about it. Well, bro, listen, you're intense as well, but in a different way. I've shared the stage with you before. I've watched you cook. You're intense about your food, but you're really inviting when it comes to people watching you and being around you, and your food's super inviting, which is why I mean, I texted you right away when I saw what happened to your restaurant up in Boston. So, you know, which restaurant was it? Was it
Abbey Lane.
Abbey Lane.
And also Buttermilk and Bourbon. Buttermilk and Bourbon not as bad, but Abbey Lane pretty bad.
They both got hit?
Yeah, so Buttermilk and Bourbon just had a couple of rocks thrown through the window.
Yeah.
But Abbey Lane, unfortunately, rocks thrown through the window and looted, you know, everything gone. All the liquor, iPads, computers, ripped the cash drawer off the wall, monitors, trashed the kitchen. I mean, scratched all the chairs, silverware, everything all over the place. It was a mess, actually. And I actually saw it on Twitter. That's how I found out.
Oh my God! You saw like a video of it happening at your
restaurant? Yeah, I had someone text me and said, "Hey, they're a bunch of the I don't think they're, to be honest, I don't think they were protesters. I think it was just bad people in bad places." But right. You know, after the protesters, the people lingering around, I had a buddy of mine text me and said, "Hey, man, I'm watching this live Twitter feed. They're all in front of your restaurant." And I was like, "Wow, that's all in front of my restaurant. That's crazy. Look at that guy with the rock. He's in front of my restaurant. Oh my God, it just went through my window." So then I was like, well, what do I do now? I'm home. You know, I can't go into Boston. It's unsafe. I called the police. Basically, they told me there's not a whole lot we can do right now. You're just going to have to wait it out till morning and assess the damage and stuff in the morning. So next morning, I woke up, crack of dawn, drove in, glass everywhere. And I mean, it looked like a bomb went off. You know, craziest part of all of that is I looked at my own surveillance cameras. And at one point, there's 30 people behind the bar. Oh, stealing liquor and everything. It was like surreal, out of a movie.
Wow. I mean, what a mess. I mean, just,
holy shit.
You know, breaking a window is bad enough, but I didn't realize they went in and just like trashed and stole everything. But I guess you're breaking a window, Plum. What else are they gonna fucking do? Of course.
Yeah, I mean, we have a giant 30-seat bar too, so the amount of booze behind that bar is like pushing 10K and liquor.
Holy
shit. And it's like all gone. Everything. And they were picky too. They were super picky. They left the Campari, they left all the crap, you know? Good for them. God bless, huh?
Good for them. Listen to you, man.
I don't know. I like a little Campari and soda. They're missing out.
Wow. That is hysterical, man. I feel bad for you. Like I saw it happen and my heart was breaking, but you know, then when I talked to you about it, you didn't seem too worried. You're like, what are you going to do?
Look, at the end of the day, nobody got hurt. I have insurance for things like this. Yeah, it sucked. I mean, it was a pain in the ass, but I had some amazing staff. They all offered to come in and help clean up. So we got the place back. We boarded up the windows, you know, minus replacing the equipment. We were back in action the next day. So, I mean, really, it was just a blip in the radar in the grand scheme of things. But all I cared about is nobody got hurt. The rest is replaceable, not a big deal. We'll just we'll fight on the next day, you know?
God damn. Well, man, listen to you. I mean, this is what I'm talking about, Jeffy. He's the nicest guy on the planet right here.
Yeah, I am fucking super impressed. You guys were up and running the next day?
Yeah, well, I mean, I had to. I mean, it's like we've just been taking hit after hit, you know, here in Boston. So we don't normally do takeout, but we do takeout. So I had to, you know, get everything back, and I had to get, you know, borrow some Toast equipment, our POS system from another restaurant, to rig it so we could take orders and stuff. I mean, they literally, you know, took everything. So
that's impressive, man. That's impressive. Fresh. That's like...
Now, does your insurance company, do they give you problems with that? Or are they... I mean, I'm curious how that whole end of it works. I mean, that's not...
I'll be honest. It was probably the best ever experience I've had with any insurance company for that matter. They were super awesome about it. You know, we also got loss of business. So they, you know... So we did fine. I mean, we'll get it all back. It's all good. I mean, it was, like I said, it was a headache to just deal with it all and, you know, have to take inventory and all this stuff and submit all these claims and have an inspector come out. But, you know, we fixed it. It was good. Nobody got hurt. Like, you know, just next time steal the fucking Campari because it's gross.
Take the fucking Campari. Holy shit. Hey, Campari. Did they go into the kitchen and take any food or no?
They didn't take any food, but they, like, trashed it. So because of the whole COVID thing, I had to have it COVID clean the next day, too. So I had to have a special company come in and sanitize everything. We had to throw all the food away and start over. So it was, you know, we had a walk-in downstairs with tons of prep. So they didn't get to that. They didn't even know we had it downstairs, I guess. So
yeah.
It was just, you know, the stuff we had on the line. So it was easy to fix in the morning. But, yeah, they had to come in and clean the next morning and spray everything down. It was, you know.
They had no idea what they were missing. None of them ate anything? Shit, I would have fired some shit up. I would have had a burger going.
Seriously.
I mean.
Fucking, I'm sure there's some chicken marinating down there. And
I know.
That's happening.
Kidding me? I would have made a caviar sandwich.
Oh, shit. Caviar on the line. That's what I'm saying. Get some of the champagne from behind the bar. Really live it up if you're going to loot.
Let me tell you something.
I laid on the bar and did snow angels drinking Campari and caviar. Gonna do it right.
Fuck,
exactly.
Leave the goddamn Campari. Fuck that. Listen,
I'm trying to get rid of it.
I mean, you gotta. I mean, I hope people are checking this out, man, and listening to Chef, because what an inspiring story, man. Through all the craziness and this stuff happens. I mean, I could just think if I was in your place, I'd be losing my mind. Like, what else? I mean, there's nothing you could do watching it happen. I get that part of it, but man, just getting your shit together.
And it was a crazy run. I mean, when this whole thing started, you know, I didn't think a whole lot of it. I figured, oh, just like anything, it'll pass. And then, you know, my manager came in one day and he's like, oh, I don't feel that good. And so, you know, again, we didn't think anything of it. Next day, he decides to stay home. A couple of days later, I call him to see how he's feeling. I get no response. He was in Mass General for 40 days in a coma.
What?
With COVID, with only a 10% chance of survival.
Oh,
you know,
God.
His wife, I was paying his bills while he's in the hospital. I was sending his wife money from the restaurant. They did a GoFundMe page for him. So, like, that's kind of what I compared to him. The guy almost died. Thankfully, he's going to make a full recovery. He's back to work part-time. But, it could be way worse. And stealing some booze and stealing a couple of computer tablets. I mean, it's terrible, but, you know, it could be way worse. And that's sort of the thing. I spin everything into a positive. I mean, this COVID thing, it's horrible. People lost their lives, but... You know, I had 2 months to be home. I've never had that kind of time off. I've cleared my head. I'm creative. I decided in the course of that 2 months home, decided to open another restaurant. You know, my wife thinks I was bored. That's why I decided. Maybe that's true. But nonetheless, I mean, it just, you know, I just had to spin it into something and just be better on the other side of it.
Man, awesome. You are an animal. I got to be honest with you. And just your whole... Everything about you is just amazing and good and fantastic. And, you know, listen, I don't want to downplay it. And you kind of scooched over what you said. But when your manager there was sick for 40 days in a coma, you were paying his bills. I mean, dude, that's amazing. And I love that you would do that. That's awesome.
I mean, it's you know, I tried to keep all my staff on payroll for as long as I could. But then, you know, we all thought this was going to be a week or two, maybe three, no big deal. You know, a month, but after a month, it's like I got, you know, 150 employees. It's like, you know, the restaurants, I can't recover from that. So I basically, including myself, everybody collected unemployment. I collected unemployment either, but I continued to pay his bills just because, you know, he couldn't fend for himself. And I'm a big fan of the underdog. So, and his wife was pregnant at the time. I mean, it's, you know, I just, I feel like terrible. It's the least I could have done.
But you probably got a guy for life now. Is he good? Is he a good manager?
Well, I fucking hope so. All the money I send that motherfucker. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I mean, he's a great guy. He's going to be the general manager. He's assistant general manager now. He's going to be promoted to general manager of our new restaurant. So I hope so. I mean, he's good people. And I hope, you know, I feel like if it was in the other position was turned, I'd hope he'd do it for me. You know, and if he doesn't, then he quits. I know where he lives. So it's all good.
Fuck him. We'll go after him. Put him back. We'll put him in another coma.
Yeah.
Jesus, man. Jeffy, get those plugs out for Chef.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to check out ChefJasonSantos.com, find out whatever Jason's up to. If you're up in Boston, you want to check him at Abbey Lane, Citrus and Salt, or Buttermilk and Bourbon. And if you want to cruise up to Marblehead, you might catch him at B&B Fish. Those are all his restaurants up there. And what's the new one coming? Do you want to tell us the name, or is that coming?
So B&B Fish opens in about 5 or 6 weeks. That's in Marblehead. That's like a, you know, kind of a takeout place. I mean, it's a real 1,000 square feet, super small, kind of a, just like funky. I want to do like a, it's like a fish and chips kind of meets clam shack, like probably the most fancy takeout you've ever had, but really kind of fun, unique concept. And then we're opening a second Buttermilk and Bourbon in Watertown, which is right outside of Boston as well. That starts construction in 12 days, and that will open in November.
Damn, that's awesome.
Are you building it from bottom up, or is it a building?
This is the biggest project I've ever done. This is over $3 million in build. Wow. So this is it's a development. I've never, you know, my sort of specialty is I take restaurants that are failing and flip them for, you know, relatively easy money. And you know, I mean, Buttermilk and Bourbon cost me $200,000. You know, B&B Fish, brand new, small, $250,000. You know, but this will be $3 million. So it's from bottom up, all brand new, all everything. You know, so it's exciting, but it's also scary at the same time, being on the hook for that kind of money.
Man, which is just crazy. Which is just insane with you, man, because you have I mean, what do you got, like 97 restaurants now? And you know, you're still trying to do the family thing, but somehow or another, every time I turn around, you're on Bar Rescue again. Like,
yeah, you know, I love what I do. I mean, it's so cliche, and in fact, probably most people don't even believe me, but I'm just as excited about this industry as I was the day I got out of culinary school. Like, I literally just got goosebumps even saying it. Like, nice, I love what I do. I mean, I eat it, I sleep it. I mean, it's just everything about it. And I'm not really interested in sort of, I want to rule the world. Like, I don't want to be just the president. I want to rule the world. So I'm trying to just dabble in everything. And I really love TV. And I also think it's kind of smart. It's like a little ecosystem, you know. It's like I'm on TV. It's a popularity contest. People come in because they saw me on TV. They eat dinner. Hopefully they've enjoyed it and we've hooked them. Maybe they buy a book or two at the end. And then it just kind of feeds each other. And it's really fun for me. You know, I love doing Bar Rescue. I mean, it's great to see all these restaurants. I mean, I learn a lot, you know, mostly what not to do. But nonetheless, I learn a lot. And so I get to travel the country and really help people and see what not to do. So, I mean, it's helped my business in being on that show.
Has there ever been an episode of Bar Rescue where you guys go there and the restaurant's a disaster and the ownership is a mess, but maybe the chef is there and he's making pretty decent food, the kitchen isn't in terrible shape, and there's not a lot to do?
I mean,
there.
there's plenty of episodes. I mean, they're you know, they might air similar, but the story is different. I mean, the one common denominator is generally it's the owner. The owner is failing internally, and therefore his business fails. I mean, you know, I've done, I think, 10, 15 episodes now. I mean, it's anything from, you know, drugs to booze to they've lost their way. I mean, and then there's some hard, tough stories. I mean, one guy, I remember we were in Colorado Springs, says his mom and his wife died the same year of the same disease in the same month. You know, so he's fallen on hard times. So it's people like that you kind of feel bad for, and you just got to sort of get their fire back and give them a hand. And then you got complete idiots. I mean, the one that just aired this past Sunday was by far the worst restaurant I have ever been in my life. I mean, no exaggeration at all. We found ribs that had an inch of mold. And oh so God. On hidden camera, we would watch this guy take a baby back rib, you know, a whole rack. Literally, like, I no matter how much I tell you how much mold is on it, I cannot do justice. It was literally like a sweater. And he took a knife, cut the mold off the ribs, put the ribs in a bowl, microwaved them with store-bought barbecue sauce, and served them.
Oh, God.
So it was definitely one of the grossest, most intense episodes. I mean, it was a tough one.
I have not seen this episode yet, but I'm definitely going to look it up because now I want to see it.
Yeah, it's...
How do you handle yourself in that situation? Jesus.
That one got a little fired up. That was that got a little crazy. I mean, this guy was crazy. He put his hands on John Taffer. It just got a little... it didn't make the cut because these are sensitive times, but it was like the first episode I've ever done where it got physical. You know, I mean, this guy was just... older guy and just didn't take shit, and he literally lunged at John's neck, and you know, and then there's like bouncers there and security in the room. I mean, it was crazy. But you know, this guy, you're not serving food that's not good. You're serving food that could kill someone.
It's not safe,
you know?
Really. Yeah.
And I get it. Sometimes people aren't educated. They're not, you know, they don't have that expertise, so they're doing things they just don't know any better. Not that it's okay, but at least it's justifiable. But you know, you don't need to be a chef to know that you don't need an inch of mold. You know, holy and you gosh. Still serve it. And, you know, I mean, he had chicken. He would bread chicken in flour and keep the same flour just outside on a rack.
Oh,
and day after day after day, use the same flour.
I mean, how many people got sick at this place? It must have been tremendous.
Right. I mean, that's the crazy part. It's so intense.
Oh, my God. Now, were they, when you went in the kitchen, were they receptive or were they like, shut up, chef. What are you in here for?
The chef was not. The chef was, you know, right in my face. What do I know? I think he called me a blue hair motherfucker. I mean, it's an intense show, you know. Sometimes people are super thankful and humble, and they know they're making a mistake, and they just want to do it the right way, and they just need a little guidance. But some people are the opposite. They think they know best, and, you know, if you knew best, you wouldn't be failing, I guess.
Right. So I know Taffer, when he's out there, he's got security with him for when shit goes down. But when they show you in the kitchen with these chefs and they want to start, you know, getting strong with you, is anybody with you or you by yourself?
No, I mean, there's a couple camera guys, but no, it's a super real show. I mean, there's a lot of editing like any TV show, but it's real. I mean, it's even in the edit, it's real. I mean, we don't make anything up. Nothing is staged. You know, I watched the show as a fan before I was on it, and I was like, this can't be real. There's no such thing. Like but I'm telling you, these places are out there. They're really out there. So
unbelievable.
It's it's crazy, you know. I mean, it's just it's a crazy, crazy thing. I mean, the last one I did, we were in, I forget, somewhere in Tarzana, California or something. These guys were a Mexican restaurant, and they were, you know, opening cans of beans and opening jars of salsa. Like, you're not cooking at that point. You're just plating. Like, you know, you're serving garbage, and it's like, it's just, some people just lose their passion, lose their way, and they just give up. I mean, they're, you know, I always tell them, it's like, if there's a fire and you're a firefighter, you don't go away from the fire. Your restaurant's failing. You got to get in it and be involved and be present. And,
right.
You know, but that's the problem. They just, they don't know any better. They're drinking at the bar. I mean, it's just, it's like out of a movie. It's like just a train wreck.
It's a fun show, man. Bar Rescue, Paramount Network now. I think, is it 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock on Sunday nights?
10 o'clock, I think it is.
I think 10 it's 10 o'clock
Sunday
too.
Nights, yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
anymore.
We just wrapped season 7, so I think now, starting next week, there are repeats. But production's going to start up again pretty soon, so we'll be out making a whole bunch more.
Yeah, so you're in the next
for another season. Yeah, signed another 15 episodes. So
good for you, man. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Now, let me ask you this without giving any numbers, and we're buddies. That's why I'm asking you. Don't say numbers.
Yeah.
But do they pay you well to do it, or is it just more
very,
about
very
doing,
well?
Do
no,
that. Fuck yeah.
Like abnormally well. I mean, I would have done it. You know, look, it helps my career. I really, really enjoy doing the show. I mean, it's really fun.
Yeah.
But I
you
get
do
paid
it for peanuts.
Very, very well. Like, really, I mean, maybe not John Taffer well, but yeah, very, very well.
That's
so
amazing,
it's
man. I'm glad
it's
to hear
also
that.
Like a
hell
little
yeah.
side gig of some extra money, you know?
Fuck so. Yeah, dude. That's how you got to pay for that $3 million restaurant.
That's it. That's the plan.
I think it's awesome, man. I mean, listen, because there's a lot of gigs that you can do that, you know, especially this day and age with TV, with the way content's put out nowadays. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. They just maybe don't pay as much money as they would have 10 years ago. So I'm glad to hear that that's actually a good game.
Yeah, you know, and that's the one thing I think was cool. It's like, I would have done it for free. I mean, truthfully, I mean, don't air that on Paramount. But I would have, you know, I enjoy doing it. It's not, I don't do it for the money. I do it for
right.
the experience. And
that's good for you.
And it helps my own restaurants. Yeah, exactly. So, but the fact that I get paid doing it as well, I mean, it's pretty crazy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I know firsthand doing some judging with Food Network and things like that. I mean, dude, it's fucking peanuts. Like, it's not even worth saying what they would
yeah.
what they pay.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
But you don't do it for that. You do it to go beyond there and, you know, get your
yeah.
name out.
Yeah,
I've
been lucky. I mean, I've been real lucky. Hell's Kitchen was really – I mean, Hell's Kitchen was an experience of a lifetime. I mean, you know
– change your career.
To sort of segue into that, I, you know, 10 years ago I was a contestant. I was a runner-up. I think they paid us $100 a day as a stipend, like
yeah.
did the show, tons of notoriety over it, helped my career, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, out of nowhere I get a phone call. Hey, any
wait,
interest
hang
of,
on a second,
being...
Chef. Hang on a second, Chef. We got to slow down real quick because your season of Hell's Kitchen is one of the best seasons to watch. It's very, very entertaining. You're very entertaining on that program. You know, you had a couple of fun run-ins with some of your other contestants, which were very
yeah,
fun.
Yeah,
hot
was
tubs
friendly
great.
With one of them or so. Yeah, it's a good time. I mean, you know, look, it was crazy. You're you know basically sequestered for 2 months, and
sure.
you got to make the best of it. And you know, everybody just has a good time, and you just you know you do your best. And I'm super competitive, so I was there to win. You know,
yeah.
like I thought it was you know I'm going to cook and be the best, and then I realized you know it's also a story and you have to sort of manipulate the situation and also you're on TV. So you have to be good. I, you know, I'm pretty sure. And I certainly don't know for a fact, but I like was one of the better cooks, I think, or at least professional chefs there. And there was a few guys that were there and we cooked, we wanted to win, but you know, it's fun. I mean, it's fun
yeah.
to see the drama and all that stuff. I mean, it's good TV, you know?
I know, and that what's crazy about it is listen, the rumor mill is always, with every show you've ever do, the rumor mill is crazy with it, within who they cast and who they don't, and, you know, I've heard rumors on that show, they cast people intentionally who are not good, to be, you know, they cast some good people, some really good people, and then some people
yeah.
who aren't very good on purpose, which makes good TV. It
yeah,
makes sense,
I mean, look,
but...
of course, I mean, it's a television show, so if everybody, you know, if Gordon Ramsay walks in the kitchen and was like, pardon me, kind sir, would you be so kind to pass the shallots? Like, that's not good TV, you know? But if he's flinging pans across the room and calling you all sorts of names, I mean, makes for good TV. So, I mean, it's a TV show, you know? I think that's – sometimes when people watch it, they there's a disconnect or they
yeah.
think this is how it is, this is how you are, this is, you know, how you're portrayed. I mean, it's a little of everything. There's some truth to all of it, but it's also a TV show, and it's got to be good content.
Editing can be very, very good to you or very bad to you.
Of course. I mean, you know, I always say this. It's like, don't say something if you don't want it to air. And if you're just, you know, if you don't say it, they can't cut it, you know, at the end to be something that it's not. So you're just going to be smart. And I think I played my cards right. I, you know, I would often, you know, sometimes you baited, hey, what do you think of this person? I just did the right thing. I gave enough to tell a story, but I didn't give enough to have it used, you know, used against me in a court of law sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you were very good about it, man. We talked about that the last time you were on the program here, and then, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, it's funny because you go from that, you know, for runner-up, you kicked ass on the show, you really did do well for yourself. You never at any point looked bad or looked like a terrible person or any of that. You go from that to all of a sudden where you're at now with Hell's Kitchen. How did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting in my restaurant, actually, and I heard this ding on Facebook, and I got an instant message, and I was like, who is this? And it was the executive producer, and he said, hey, any interest in being the on-air sous chef for the next two seasons of Hell's Kitchen? I almost fell out of my chair. And so, of course, without even asking details, I was like, yes.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And he said, you know, I'm gonna let me run it by Gordon and see what he says. 2 days later, I'm in L.A. having lunch with Gordon. And then we decide, okay, let's do this. And then, you know, I think a month or two later, we started filming. I was in Las Vegas for 3 months. We were filming right downtown. Caesars built a 50,000 square foot soundstage behind Bally's Hotel. And we filmed two seasons back to back. And I thought being a contestant was intense. And I thought, oh, this is different. I don't have to win anything. But geez, you know, standing next to Gordon Ramsay all day, every day,
yeah,
plating his food at his level is intense. I mean, the guy's at a 10 all day. Some mornings we had to film at 4 or 5 in the morning. He would come in all fired up, like he's a 10 all the time. And, you know, it's like his food is Michelin level. I mean, it's like we were plating with tweezers. I mean, it was intense. And then to have a brigade behind you that, you know, You want them to do well. You want them to win the challenges because you get time off. If they win, you don't have to stay for the punishment. So myself and Christina Wilson, who is the red team sous chef, who fantastic, was also the winner, I think, season 6 or something.
Love her.
You know, we were competitive because we wanted to win, so we didn't have to stick around for punishment. We'd basically get a half a day off because we filmed 6 days a week, 17 to 18-hour days. I mean, it was brutal, brutal, yeah, shoot schedule.
It's the hardest, like, you ever brutal, worked. Brutal. I think you told me on the phone it was the hardest you ever
easily,
worked.
Easily. I mean, literally, there are some days I would get up at 5 in the morning, and I would not get back to my room till 1 in the morning.
Jesus
and,
Christ.
Like, you know, thankfully, or not thankfully, me, but, you know, you hear some of these actors, and they're like, oh, I make all this money. Everybody's like, oh, they don't work. I'm telling you, the days are brutal. 6 days a week. And then on Sunday, we'd have off, and you basically just sleep because you're, you know, I would walk, like, my Fitbit, I'd walk 20, 25 miles a day,
Jesus,
you know,
Christ,
on the set, because it's a big stage. It's a sound stage. There's a prep kitchen. You know, you're back and forth. And you have to be intense. I mean, it's called Hell's Kitchen for a reason.
Yeah.
You're not the nicest guy, you know. I mean, I had to sort of.
You're
the
fucking general.
Super nice.
You're the fucking general.
Yeah, I mean, so I started, after 3 days, I started losing my voice from yelling so much. I mean, there was an episode where they invited my wife in. And so every single night of the show, there's a blue VIP table and a red VIP table. And it's, you know, all sorts of celebrities. I can't necessarily mention what will be on the next season. But when I was on it, it was like David Beckham and Kardashians. I mean, they're like A-list celebrities every single night. Well, one of the nights, they let me have my wife come in. So she was like on an episode. And her and my best friend were there. And, you know, I wanted them to eat because, unfortunately, in Hell's Kitchen, people don't always eat. Sometimes it doesn't go well, and Gordon kicks them out of the kitchen. And, you know, I wanted these guys to eat. I've been telling them how good, yes, it's a TV show. The food is fucking off the chart. It's so freaking good. And I said, I can't wait for you. You got to have a Wellington. You got to have a rack of lamb. And these guys kept fucking it up. And I remember, like, losing my marbles on these guys. And I started losing my voice from yelling so much. It's so intense. It's intense.
Wait.
I can't wait either. I mean, I literally have PTSD from it. I mean, it was like the best experience of my life exponentially. However, it was also the most intense and hardest I've ever worked. So I'm excited to see sort of the fruit of my labor. You know, I think it's been a year since we filmed, so it's kind of forgotten about it. But when this airs, I mean, it's going to be, you know, some of these shows are game changers. I think this might be a life changer. So I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see, you know, the cut at the end. And I mean, there was some amazing celebrities. I got to meet all these great people, you know. I mean, it was just, it's unbelievable. So I can't wait. Really can't wait.
You can text Gordon Ramsay now, can't you?
I can't. I, you know, he was adamant about giving me his cell phone number, and I didn't even want it. I was like, I don't want this. I don't want to, like, what if I drunk dial Gordon Ramsay? Like, I can't have it. But I do. I have his text, I have talked to him before, and it's weird. I don't like it. I mean, it at all.
You know what? Just send him like a random, like, terrible meme one drunken night. Hey, chef, look at this. You don't want to do that?
Yeah, like a selfie. Miss you. Meet it, you know.
He might laugh his ass off at that, though.
He probably would, but I'm not taking those chances.
Oh, man. What an experience. Hey, you weren't sequestered being the sous chef, where you still could, like, call your wife and do all that, those things.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I lived in the hotel for 3 months. So it was 6-day weeks, you know, like I said, 6 a.m. to whatever, midnight. And then, you know, I'd call my wife, I'd get a break. So if we won a challenge, every morning was a challenge. Winners get a fantastic reward and losers get a punishment. So if your team won, you'd basically have a couple hours. You'd still be on set. But I mean, it was such a big production that I had my own office. Like it was unbelievable. Like, as far as, you know, from what I heard, like, it's $1 million a day to make that show happen.
Yeah,
that's what they spent.
It's expensive.
So, I mean, you know, it's like, 300 people work on that show. And, you know, as a sous chef, it's like you're basically the number two. You know, you have everything you need. You have your own tech guys. You have your own office. You have different – I mean, it's just unbelievable. But it was – I did get to call my wife. I checked in with my family a lot. But, you know, 3 months, I saw my wife. I flew her out every other weekend.
Yeah.
I flew her out Friday night. I saw her for an hour. I had to go to bed because I had to be at work the next morning. Saturday night, we'd go out a little bit. You know, Caesars was great. I could get shows, tickets to any show, you know, in a Caesars location. So I got to see a bunch of shows when I was out there. But yeah, I mean, I was running my restaurants remotely through a computer, seeing my wife 2 days every, you know, 4 days a month. I mean, it was a sacrifice, but I think I'm really convinced it will pay off.
Man, I'll tell you, and listen, I got to meet your wife at Mohegan Sun this year, and just the nicest human being, such a sweetheart, very sweet, very nice. And, you know, kudos to her for putting up with your crazy ass. Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're in it together, you know, and she knows. I mean, she knows. It's like we want things. We want bigger. We want better. And, you know, it's just a vehicle to get there. So, I mean, you got to just grind every day and not get complacent and just kind of, you know, I'm very reactive. You know, I'm very proactive. I don't want to ever be reactive. So I always try to go for things and then, you know, figure it out on the other side sort of thing. But totally. Just gonna keep it going.
Have they given any idea of an air date for one of those seasons or not yet?
No. And so what happens is they film the show and then basically the network buys it. So the network is in charge. So nobody knows, not even the exec producers who I've talked to. Like, we just don't know. It was originally going to air like a few weeks ago, but they're airing repeats. And, you know, I sort of questioned. I thought this would be an amazing time for a TV show to air because there's all these people at home. But they're apparently the reasoning is that nobody can really go out to restaurants, so no, people aren't as excited about food as they normally are, so they decided to not film the show right now. So, I don't know. I've heard fall, and I also heard someone say next spring. I mean, it's changes every day, so, you know.
I think that's completely incorrect. I've got companies like fucking Microsoft and JP Morgan paying me to come on to Zoom with 60 employees of theirs and, like, do a cooking demo. People fucking, I don't know. It's crazy talk. You know?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, Fox is such a big network. It's like, you can't call someone and say, hey, when you know, it's not like even Paramount. It's like I could call someone and get an answer. Like, Fox is just a massive network. So it's, you know, we don't even know who they are, basically. Dude,
I can't wait to watch that. I'm so excited to see it. Like, I mean, I will definitely be watching that show for you because you're my dude. And, like, I just can't wait to see how you act in that situation. And
I can't wait either.
I'm very, very excited for it. Jeffy, get some plugs out there before we get to some Instagram questions for Chef.
Hell yeah, absolutely. You want to go to chefjasonsantos.com, check him out, see all the things that he's doing. And again, if you're up in Boston, you want to go to Abbey Lane. You want to check out – I just lost his email. I'm sorry.
Don't give his email out. But
No.
My mom's phone number is 617-8.
Yeah. Instagram, Chef Jason Santos, and of course chefjasonsantos.com. If you're in the Boston area, I mean, you got to check out his restaurants. I'm going to for sure. And listen, Sunday nights, Paramount Network, Bar Rescue, they just wrapped, but they're all on demand. You can check them out there and get ready because Hell's Kitchen, let me tell you what, Chef Jason is coming out as a fucking sous chef on fucking fire. I can't wait to see it. You're such a nicest guy. I can't picture you screaming at people.
I'm telling you, dude, that's the funny thing is it's Gordon's so intense. It's just like catchy. I mean, I was, you know, It's like in the morning, like I'd walk in the kitchen and they'd be like, morning chef. I'd be like, go fuck yourself. And I'd just keep walking. Like, it was just so intense. I mean, it was like, you know, it's intense. It's you know, we're told to, you know, we're nice to them. We're fair. If you do a good job, you do a good job. But if you don't, I mean, you get the wrath. I mean, I literally, you know, the things I had to do to these poor people. Oh, my goodness.
Dude. Coming on the instant feedback, our good friend Dimitri's chiming in saying that one of his favorite episodes we had in the show was the last time you were on us, maybe almost 2 years ago at this point, and you were talking about the book coming out, and you were talking about biscuits, and he loves your biscuit recipe, so that's pretty awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much. That'd be great. Next time you make them, man, I want to see a picture. Make sure you post it.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Get a picture of those biscuits up there. All right, Chef, I got a couple of questions, and we'll get you out of here from Instagram.
Sure.
Is that cool? You got a few minutes? I know you're tired.
Yeah, of course.
All right, let's get through these a little bit here. So coming in from Robin's Kitchen, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
You know, I'll tell you, I have actually no regrets in my career. I think I did it the right way. I worked super hard. I got out of culinary school. I put my head down, and I have not stopped. The only thing I would do that I would maybe change is I might work for some other people for, you know, a little longer. I became an executive chef at 22 years old. And, I, you know, I'm glad I did it because I am where I am. But at 22 years old, I had no business running a kitchen. So I think if I had to do it over again, I would probably work for a couple more chefs before I went off on my own.
Nice. Yeah, that's good advice, I think. Coming to here, good brother, the food porn unicorn himself, Dave Shirosky. He has two questions. I have a feeling they're both kind of in jest, but still pretty good questions. He wants to know, who would win in a fight, Ramsay or God?
The fucking food porn unicorn?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck? I think if it was God or Gordon Ramsay, I think it would be like Jesus's brother would have a better chance, Ricky Christ. I think he would probably be the one to kick ass.
Ricky Christ. He changes oil down to fucking Valvoline right now.
Yeah, it's cousin Sean Christ.
Holy shit. Oh my God. That's hysterical. Yeah, we're not even going to ask that question. I think this might be somebody that you know, Chef, chiming in here from Instagram, Tall Mia. I think she might be someone that you possibly could know. She wants to know what your favorite nickname is.
So Mia Mastriani is the mixologist on Bar Rescue with me. She is a tall drink of water, that girl. I already forgot what question she asked because I know it's probably crazy. But
there's two.
Sorry, one more time? Okay.
She goes, what's your favorite nickname?
I don't know if that's like a. I think I'm supposed to pick up what she's putting down,
yeah,
but
I
don't
so
actually know. So I don't. I don't remember.
Ricky,
I know. It's Blackout Nancy. That's the nickname.
Blackout
Nancy. That's what I would have. I'm not a big drinker, but when I drink too much, Blackout Nancy. That's my alter ego. Fucking Mia.
Blackout Nancy. She also wants to know if you've ever killed a Smurf in a hotel bathroom.
I have. It's messy, messy, messy.
I mean, they're squishy, aren't they? I don't know.
Yeah, but you steal their hat and you just kill them a little bit. It's all good.
That's right. You see the reach of the program. We're talking to the mixologist from your show. How about that? Pretty cool.
Yeah. She comes out of this whole fucking show just went downhill fast.
We got a few of those in the program.
My kind of lady.
Goes way down. Chef One Above All, what was the single biggest kitchen disaster on Hell's Kitchen?
Probably the biggest kitchen disaster, we had a super, 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 super VIP table come in, which you'll see, and first ticket comes in, and these guys forgot to turn the stove on.
Oh, my God.
So, as you can probably tell, it didn't go well.
Oh, my God. That's fucking a nightmare. Wow. I love talking to you, man. You're such a good person, man. I want to say good luck, but you don't need any fucking luck. You're doing it on your own. I'm so excited for you, man, and so happy that you'll take the time to come on the show, at least for now. I got a feeling,
anytime,
Jeffy,
man.
This will probably be Jason's last time. Chef's not coming back again because he's going to be way too
come
big for us.
Come on. Come on. Last time I came on immediately. This time I needed a week head notice. Maybe I might need 8-day notice,
right,
but I'll definitely be on your show whenever you ask me. Count me in.
You're the man, brother.
You're the man.
I appreciate it. Jason, thank you so much for your time, man. I'm so glad things are going well. I'm glad the restaurants wasn't that much of a disaster. I got to be honest. I thought you were going to come on and be like, yeah, it was a fucking nightmare. Like, you really were cool about it, which is, I mean, there's a lot to learn from that. I'm serious. There's a lot to learn from that, you guys. Honestly. I mean, go back and listen to him talking about it again. There's a lot to learn there. It's pretty awesome. No doubt
awesome,
about
guys.
It.
Awesome, guys. Well, thank you very, very much. Show's awesome. Psyched to be a part of it. Thankful that you guys want to have me. Great to talk to you, as always.
You're the man, brother. We'll talk to you on down the road, all right? Take care of yourself, and tell your wife I said hello.
See you guys. I will. Have a great night.
See you, buddy. You too. There he goes. Bye-bye. Chef Jason Santos joined the program. I love that dude, man. He's just such a likable person, Jeffy. I mean, honestly, when I think of people who are just good human beings, he definitely, you know, hits that right on the head. And apparently I'm calling Jeffy again. Yeah, I was just talking.
Back.
I was just talking to you.
And I'm back.
One of my favorite guys, Jeffy. He's just great. I love him. I think he's such
dude,
a good person
awesome.
To talk to.
Absolutely. He's awesome. It's super inspiring to hear his story, too. I mean, the fact that he's been just, like, pushing since he was 22 years old, and now he's got five restaurants, a successful TV career. I mean, it's just super inspiring to see what hard work can really fucking bring. I mean, that's what I got from the whole thing. It's just...
Yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. You work hard, you can make it happen. I mean, that dude is just crushing it right now.
He is. He is. He's killing it, and I haven't seen him on Hell's Kitchen, but I really want to because I just I, like you said, I can't imagine him losing his shit on people. He just seems like the nicest guy. Like,
yeah, no doubt
like
about
whenever
it.
Whenever we hang out with him, whenever we see him at Mohegan, he's always just like so cool and like, you know, like
he's,
I don't know,
he's
humble.
Another one, dude. Look, he's another one we should point out. Like we talk about this a lot. These festivals, like chefs come to festivals and. They're making food, and but it's not the actual chef. Man, Jason makes his own food.
Jason makes his own food, and he's in every kitchen. Last time he was on the show, he said he tries to get into every single kitchen every day. You know, he's out there.
That's
like
insane.
He has he puts in like a 12 or 14 hour day just driving. You know, from one restaurant to the next restaurant, doing what he has to do. And it's like, I mean, just saying hey. And I think
it's old school.
It's inspiring too. You know, he's a hard-ass worker, and he's an amazing chef and fucking nicer guy, honestly.
Yeah, good brother, man, for sure. Good brother all around. Much much respect for Chef Jason Santos. Love that guy very much.
Restaurant Hell's Kitchen. You probably don't like him.
Look, seeing that guy come on, he's going to be the sous chef on the next two seasons of Hell's Kitchen. You got to watch it. It's going to be worth watching Jason on its own because – the guy's he's a TV magnet. He's a very charismatic human being. Go watch him do stuff on YouTube. Watch him do on Bar Rescue. Watch him do demos. He's very good at what he does.
Very good.
Very likable. Very, very good at what he does. Well, Jeffy, is that smoke? Do you see this? Do you smell smoke, Jeffy? What is that?
Yeah, I do.
No, it's not that kind of smoke. It's a bad smoke.
Oh.
What is that? Are you smelling that? What the
sulfur and brimstone.
Yeah, it's like the lights are flashing. Whoa.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
Who saw this coming? Holy shit. It's Dave. Wow. Hey, Dave.
Yo.
Are you getting ready for the purge? Is that what I heard?
There's something going on.
Maybe it's a party. You heard Jason talking his stories, man, about the riots. I thought it was a really cool perspective to hear that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He stayed positive throughout it, and he was pretty cool about it, honestly.
Coming in on the instant feedback, Mike Stibe, what's up, brother? Mr. Knife, he just shouts Dave the second they hear the music. Cinnamon just shouts Dave when he hears the music. I mean, it's happening, Dave. It's all happening for you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, man, honestly, just I think you hear that guy. What I saw on social media from him when I saw windows broke at his restaurant, I sent him a text right away. I just felt so bad for the guy, but he was never that upset about it. And I think listening to that perspective, you know, because we hear all the perspectives about people doing, you know, the rioting and things happening, but you never hear the perspective from the actual, you know, owners of the building or something like that. And getting that perspective, I think, was really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because you're going to see it on the news, but if they're interviewing, you know, someone who owns something, they're usually pretty upset about it and pissed off. So it was kind of cool to see the other side to where they were just staying positive with it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's a great way to see. And, you know, I mean, it's a great thing to see and to hear when you hear those stories, Jeffy. I mean, what do you think, man? I mean, wouldn't you think that he would be very upset about that?
Well, Yeah, no, but like he said, you know, you got to take everything with a little perspective of what's going on around the world, like all the people who are getting hurt, you know, between cops getting killed in places and people getting killed and cops shooting people with rubber bullets and, you know, all the crazy shit that's happening, and like no one got hurt. Sure, property got damaged, but he has insurance and it's going to take care of it. So it's like, you know, when he said it that way, I was like, honestly, what could you fucking do? I mean, what's jumping up and down and screaming really going to do for you other than just fucking stress you out and raise your blood pressure, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you're right. Like, what else can you fucking do? I mean, it's happening. You just got to kind of deal with it. But I thought for sure dealing with it would be a pain in the ass. He said the insurance company was great about it. So that's great news to hear. What I think was fun, though, he was talking about how they broke in. You know, they took all the iPads, they took the POS, they took a bunch of liquor, except for the Campari. But you know what else I bet they didn't take? I bet they didn't take the kegs, because they're too damn heavy to carry out of the beer cooler. I mean, would we jack a keg, Jeffy, if we were looting?
Well, no, because you need a tap. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, what would I...
It's hard to carry, too, Dave. Dave could carry a keg, I think. He could carry a keg for 3 steps.
I mean, allegedly, I may have acquired a keg when I was younger and carried it 6 blocks, but that's allegedly.
Allegedly. Well, I would love to see you carry a keg for 6 blocks, Dave. I don't know. But
I can't. I don't think I could allegedly do that now. But, you know, when you're like 19 and you got willpower.
Well, or maybe they didn't take the beers because he has some of those crazy-ass weird beer flavors going on in the world right now, man. Honestly, if you look what's going on out there in beer, my question I'm posing to you gentlemen, and we'll take questions, we'll take comments from anybody, jump on the chat, send your comments in to us, love to hear it. Are we going too far with beer? And I know you're thinking, Chef, what are you talking about? What do you mean are we going too far with beer? Well, let me give you an example. There's an article that came out yesterday about Flying Dog. We all know Flying Dog, right? That's a beer company. They made what they're calling the best seafood companion on the planet. Yes, it's an Old Bay beer. Okay. Now, have we taken this too damn far? What do you think?
I'm going to say if I were going to steam and cook some shrimp on Old Bay beer... That sounds fucking good, man.
Really?
Like, steamed, I love Old Bay. And, like, with seafood, like, if I were going to, like, you know, if you were going to steam it on the Old Bay beer, that sounds pretty banging. I already steamed.
To cook with, maybe. All right, listen, I'm down with the cook with part. I'm down with that. What I'm a little concerned about is the actual drinking of a flavored, Old Bay flavored beer. Dave, talk to me.
I mean, like I said, you know, Jeff's talking about cooking with a lobster would be great. That would be something to go. I don't know if I'd drink it, though. I don't know if I could.
I would try it.
I mean, are we going too
maybe
far?
It's a goza, too, so it's like a sour, you know? So it's like Old Bay, lemon, probably, you know, it's probably got all those flavors in there.
Well, I found an article on Mental Floss that was talking about all these like different types of beer, and one of them, which is interesting, it's called Snake Venom, the world's strongest beer. All right, this is a little bit crazy. So it started back in 1999 with Sam Adams' Utopia, which was a 21% alcohol beer. Right,
yeah.
Last year the beer was topped by Brewmeister's Brewery Armageddon, which was a 65% alcohol by volume beer. So this year, Brewmeister upped their game by announcing Snake Venom, which contains 67.5% alcohol, making it an impressive 135 proof, which is stronger than a lot of hard liquors. One bottle of Snake Venom, the one 12-ounce bottle, is $80 if you can find it somewhere. But let me ask you, I mean, Jeffy, why? That's my question, why?
That's where I'm at. Like, I'm just like... if it's delicious, I guess, fucking let's get some. But if it's not really delicious, like, what the fuck are we doing?
How could it be delicious?
Well, I don't know. I mean, all sorts of weird stuff is delicious.
I don't know. It sounds terrible. Dave, 135 proof beer. Are you in?
I don't know if you should be able to like almost flambé with beer. That's yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I'd try it, but I mean, it's like you take a shot. That's it. It's not like something I could drink a whole glass of.
I don't know, man. I think we're just doing it for the sake of doing it there, you know? I mean, look, even right here, chiming in, Chef Mark Paquito on Instant Feedback says, that's just crazy. And, of course, Chef Cinnamon chiming in on Instant Feedback. He says, it's no weirder than the White Claw pizza we talked about. That was on the on the Station Head show yesterday. But I think it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you know, I feel like it's like this with weed. You know, it's like, oh, okay, let's get it stronger. Somebody always wants it stronger. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think it's like that with beer. And...
Well, Chef Dan's chiming in. He wants two. He's ready to do it right now.
Because he's a Wolver Dan.
Fucking
he's an
no
animal.
Surprise there, right? No surprise there.
Wolver Dan.
Well, if you're looking for something a little bit different, there is a beer. It's the only beer that's sold in dead animals. All right, so literally, it's like a stuffed animal with a beer bottle in it. It's kind of crazy. It's a nice blend of weirdness and a package to certainly catch the eye of your guests. Try getting your hands on
it.
BrewDogs, The End of History, a 50% alcohol by volume beer released in 2010. That sold for the absurd price of $765. But you weren't just paying for the beer. The End of History was a special limited edition Belgian blonde ale. Only 12 bottles were made, and they were all contained within a taxidermied body of a squirrel or a weasel. Okay.
It's amazing.
I would do that. I would do that.
I don't know if I would drop $800 on it, but if someone bought it for me, I wouldn't be mad at them.
Yeah, if you gave it to me as a gift, Jeffy, I would be down with that. I'd keep it forever.
I would keep it forever. We would drink it at like on some sort of live feed for the people I'd have to drink out of it's. What would you want, a weasel or a squirrel? What would your preference be?
I'll take a weasel.
I think I would go squirrel. See,
Dave.
I think I'd go squirrel as well.
All right. Chime in on this feedback. Mark Paquito says, give me a beer that actually tastes like watermelon. Well, Chef Mark, I got your back, brother. Montauk Watermelon Ale is the best watermelon beer on the planet. I will bring you some. It is fantastic.
Pretty good.
It's a good great session ale. It has a great. It's made with real watermelon. It's delicious. Great fucking beer. So also on this list, gentlemen. Dave, would you want one of these beers inside of a dead animal?
I mean, no, but if I had to choose, I'd pick a squirrel. So
you would.
Like I wouldn't seek this out.
All right. Well, on this list also is the world's oldest intact beer. Are you ready? Ancient brews may not be all that appealing to modern taste, but what about a 200-year-old beer? Five bottles of beer were discovered in a shipwreck back in 2011. Four professional taste testers got to find out. The shipwreck was dated in the early 1800s. Unsurprisingly, the testers found the beer to taste very old. They also thought it tasted acidic with some burnt notes. All right. I get drinking 200-year-old beer and the novelty of doing that. I mean, are you guys with me? Like, that'd be cool to do.
Yeah.
But beer does go bad eventually, so it's not going to be good. It's going to be disgusting.
Well, was it like preserved somehow or something?
It's in the bottom of the ocean in a shipwreck. So, yeah, it was probably preserved pretty well. But, I mean, what? It was probably kept at 40 degrees the whole time? Who knows how deep it was?
Oh, man.
I mean,
that's weird. I don't think I would like that.
I get it to try it. Dave, you would try it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. What kind of shipwreck was it like? Was it like a pirate ship or something?
Let's just go with that, yeah.
Yeah, I'd totally be down.
All right, well, yeah, I'd be down with that, too. That sounds awesome. You know, I think I'd be down with tasting that beer, that's for sure. Listen, let me ask you this. Mike Staub on Insta Feedback chiming in. He would love to have a fox beer, a beer that's stuffed inside of a fox. That wasn't one of the choices, Mikey. It was only a weasel or a squirrel, that's for sure. So also here on this list, ironically... I don't think I quite understand. Oh, fuck. All right, we'll do this one first. This beer is the most spacey beer in the world. I sent you guys a link for this. I'm not sure if you have it up in front of you.
Yeah, I got it.
But this is number 7 on the list. The most spacey beer in the world. It's a beer with ingredients that are from out of this world, literally. Then you have two options. Sapporo Space Barley features barley that was on the International Space Station. The 2009 limited edition beer was released in 256 packs that sold for around $100 each. Proceeds were used to support science education. This is a gimmick. I mean, Dave, this is a gimmick beer, isn't it?
It could be, but how's it taste?
It tastes like fucking beer. I mean, it doesn't taste any different. It just says, listen, Dogfish Head also has a brewery called the Celeste Jewel Ale that contains dust from lunar meteorites. Now we're fucking talking. Now we're getting superpowers. This is what I'm talking about. If you're wondering why the company wouldn't put crushed space rocks in your beer, it's not just to be fancy, but as it turns out, since the meteorites are mostly minerals and salts, the dust aids in the fermentation process. How about that? That's pretty crazy. Unfortunately, for those interested, you can only get the space beer from the company's Rehoboth Beach Pub. You know, that's a great place to go. They also serve a great beer called Gay Beer there, I heard, which is great. That's a real beer. But on the upside, if you do make it out there, it's served in a koozie made from the same material as an astronaut's spacesuit. So, you know, that's a fucking great gimmick, right? I mean, listen, out of these two beers, give me the one that has actual stuff from space in it. That's what I'm talking about.
I love it. I'm into that.
Chef Dan chiming in saying he hopes it makes his balls bigger. So, I don't know if that's a thing.
I hope so too, Dan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't know. Look, let me tell you what Mark McKeel is chiming in. He says that old wine is good, but not old beer. Yeah, I'd agree with that too. And Mike Staub on Instant Feedback says he's calling it love dust, L-U-V dust. I'm not disagreeing there. You might get something great out of that, Jeffy. That's right. Well, the next one here is a little bit disgusting. Number 8. Fuck me. I don't even know why you'd do this. This beer is, what's it called? Does it have a fucking name? It's called
Skank.
It's beer that's pre-digested. Sunk. Pre-digested by elephants. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, kinda. Not really, though.
Well, let's read. You can read if you want, Jeffy, but I'll go if you want.
Go ahead.
So actually, the beer itself hasn't been digested yet. It's really only the coffee beans that were used in the special coffee known as Black Ivory. Rather than using civets to digest the coffee beans before they are processed, this coffee uses elephants. Then, once the elephants poop out the beans, it's made into coffee. And at that point, the coffee is then brewed into Sankt Gallen's Unkonokoro. Reviewers say it was actually quite delicious, with a strong bitter taste followed by a wave of sweetness and a mellow body. This treat sold out within minutes. It was $100 a bottle. But if you get your hands on some elephant poop beer, you're going to have to get your hands dirty and try to start from scratch because they're not making any more of it. Dave, elephant poop beer. I mean, at this point, we're going too far.
Yeah, I think I'm good on that. It sounds like that Kopi Luwak stuff.
What is that? You're just saying words. That's some Detroit shit.
I don't know. What is that?
It's coffee beans that, like, I don't know what eats it.
Yeah, the civet. I've had that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Chef Dan chiming in saying it tastes like shit.
Kinda. Nutty. It's
Jeffy,
nutty.
Elephant poop beer, if we had one, would you drink it?
Fuck yeah.
Just for the
right
fun
now.
Of it? Just for the fun of it? Sorry, I was drinking.
Absolutely, right now, for the fun of it. I've had a lot of weird beers. I've actually had the beard beer that was on the list that I was looking through there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I bought it just because I had a beard, and I saw that there was a beard on the, and I was like, oh, beard, cool, I have a beard.
Well, Beard Brewery is actually a great brewery.
Yeah, but then as I was drinking the beer, I was reading the bottle. You know how you do that sometimes? You pour the beer, and you're like, oh, what's this little story? And it's like, our master brewer brewed so much beer that he grew a yeast in it or something, his beard. So we cultured that yeast and decided to make a delicious brew. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, but it was actually really good, so I finished it.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I think that's a Connecticut brewery, to be honest with you, which is kind of crazy. That's incredible.
No, the beard one, the one that's made out of, it's like a popular one. I can't think. It's like Sam Adams or something.
Jesus, really?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me find it here. Rogue. That's what it is.
Oh, Rogue. Gotcha. Well, there's a brewery here in Connecticut called Beard Brewing, and they have like a beard on the logo. It's pretty cool.
I wonder if they use beard yeast.
We should look into that. Dan, that's something we want to find out if they use beard yeast. Chef Mark Vaquito is chiming in. All water has space dust. Keep in mind, this is the same guy who used to chase aliens, just letting you know. Mike Staub chiming in. It's a bad idea. He tried to steer clear of the elephant poop beer. I couldn't agree more. I don't think any beer made with poop is a good idea. Here's Come a couple on. Of quickies, some strange flavors. Mamma Mia Pizza Beer. It is a beer that's actually made with a whole margarita pizza in the mash and plenty of pizza spices to enhance the flavor.
Sounds disgusting.
Might be a little too much there for me. I don't know. Dave, would you eat a pizza beer that's actually made with a pizza?
No, it sounds like the White Claw pizza.
It's backwards, right?
Yeah.
That's hysterical. Yeah, I'm good. Wow, I am good. I don't need anything of that stuff. There's also Voodoo Donut. You guys have probably seen these guys before. They make a chocolate peanut butter banana ale. It's a chocolate peanut butter banana donut that makes a beer. Well, you're probably already drunk, but at least you're covered with this Rogue Ale Brew. It's a pink bottle. I've seen this one. Have you guys ever tried this?
I've had it. Yeah, I've had it.
Disgusting.
Pretty good. Dave? It's like a milkshake.
Yeah, I think they actually use like lactose in it and everything.
Absolutely, it's delicious. And peanut butter. It really tastes like peanut butter, banana, and chocolate. It's fucking banging. Yeah, I don't get the donut, really, but I get the rest of it.
Right, it makes sense. You know, who else we got here? So, it looks like Wincott Brewing Company makes something called, this is for our good brother, Chef Mark Vaquito. They're making the Rocky Mountain Oyster Stout. So, basically, it's an oyster stout, but it contains bull testicles. Nope, I got it completely wrong. It's not that at all. It's brewery, and it contains bull testicles, 3 per barrel to be precise. Holy shit.
Dude, Rocky Mountain oysters are delicious. Daniel
says! Go ahead.
I said Rocky Mountain oysters are delicious.
I agree, but in a beer, Dave, I mean, I don't know if you even had those in Detroit.
Beer or Rocky Mountain oysters? Because I've had them.
Daniel San!
Let me tell you something right now. I'm talking more about the beer itself, like putting bull balls into beer.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that.
No. Is it called teabag? Right, the beer.
But it should be called that. That would be amazing. Finally, I want to talk about this one, guys, before we get out of here. There's a coconut curry Hefeweizen, New Belgium Brewery.
Yeah.
They combine a sweetness of coconut with a spicy flavor of curry and a hint of banana in their coconut curry Hefeweizen. Are you fucking kidding me?
I would try it.
You'd want some of that?
Yeah, with one of those like curry wieners.
What?
You know what I'm talking about? You know those German curry wurst? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? The spicy curry wurst with a coconut curry Hefeweizen?
That's good.
Plum. The plum. Good. Yes.
I don't think I want any of that. That kind of sounds gross.
That's Plumen. That's Plumen.
It kind of sounds gross, man.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Listen, I think if I was going to have to choose out of any of these beers, I had to taste one of them. I guess I'd have to go with give me the pizza beer. I'd love to try it. That's what I'm saying.
No, you're lying. You would not drink that. If I gave you a choice of all these beers, you would go for the pizza one, you psycho.
Why not? I don't want sweet bullshit. I don't want tomatoes the
and beer need to be together. You ever have a tomato beer? One of those weird Mexican beers?
I have.
Yeah.
Tomato. Ugh.
The hell is that? Clamato? That's even worse.
Let me tell you something. We used to serve Bloody Marys with a shot of beer. That's how we did it at fucking this restaurant in Virginia. It was delicious. You serve a little like a rocks glass of Bud Light and the fucking margarita.
Oh, Virginia, take me home.
It's not West Virginia. It's Virginia, sorry. Not West Virginia.
Daniel-san.
Listen, it's not West Virginia. All right.
Is that the song? I thought it was Old Virginia.
No, there's no song.
Back when it used to be
Old
One Virginia.
Virginia. No.
Back when, before there was West and regular Virginia, it was just Virginia.
Now you're making fun of me, and that's not cool.
What are you talking about, dude? I'm just trying to connect with the song.
No, you're not. You're making fun of me.
When Virginia was brother and sister, and they just decided to be cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up, dummy.
Listen. Mike Staub is on Mike Staub's on his on the instant feedback says that would go good with curried goat. Listen.
Ooh. There you go.
It probably go, would, but I'm good. I think any beer would go great with curried goat, but I don't need a curried beer to go with curried goat, in my opinion.
Get some samosas.
Well, what if you braise the goat in curry beer?
Now you're there talking. That's a different level. I'm with that.
See, it's me. I'm over here with levels. Level and put levels to it, dog. Wait, hold on. Turn on my levels. Turn on my headphones.
I got you.
Turn
I got headphones. You right here.
Right, Daniel
word,
San.
Word.
Daniel San.
There you go.
That's it. That's the one.
Because you're learning. Right. Listen. When it comes to currying, I'm doing goat in the curry. All right. Oh, sorry. I mean, I got you. Let me just, excuse me. So, Dave, if you had to pick one of those beers, which one would it be?
I'd go with the curry beer. Or is it donut?
Wow. Jeffy, what would it be?
I've actually had the oyster stout, not the Rocky Mountain oyster stout, but the regular oyster stout, and I've had the Voodoo Donut peanut butter ale. I would probably go, I would be interested in this Hefeweizen. I actually hate white beers, like I hate wheat beers, but careful. With the coconut and the curry and shit, that might be like another level. I might be able to get in there.
Yeah, that one might taste, I don't know, I kind of get you on the flavors, but I just... Is it weird that I don't like my beer to taste like food? Is that weird?
No, I absolutely could have one of these, and then I might not finish it, but I'd be polite. Like, I'd be like, ooh, this is
here's
very
the problem.
Tasty.
Here's the problem, Jeffy. That's not true. I've watched you. You were like, no, I'm going to have one of these sours, and then you drank 15.
No. Daddy likes sours a lot.
Okay, terrific. Good.
Yes, you do. Yes, yes, you do. Daddy likes sours.
I
don't know.
Fruity.
Daddy liked sours until we got in the car and drove home. Then Daddy wasn't a fan of sours anymore.
Dude, I don't like throwing up sours for sure. That is, might be.
Burns.
Your stomach. Burn. Your stomach was very much in the.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
So ugly.
Not good. Chef Dan chiming in says he wants all of them, and I don't doubt it. Wolver Dan would drink all that shit. He ain't playing games with it. Yeah, I'm not having it. You guys on the instant feedback there, which one would you have there? Mike, what would you try out of those? And Mark, what would you try? Chef Cinnamon, what would you guys try out of those beers? Because there's a lot of choices. You know, for me, I don't know. I like my beer to be normal. I like regular beer. I don't like flavored beer. I don't like to put fruit in my beer. You guys have seen. I'll even drink Coronas with. I don't need lime in it. I just give me the fucking beer.
West Virginia, take me home.
Oh, shit. Dan's chiming in. He wants to try that 150 proof beer first. That's what he wants. He wants to try that before anything else. You know, that's the way it goes. And he says that I like beer that may be of questionable sexual orientation. Mark Fikito says he wants to, on the instant feedback, says they want curry coconut. Chef Cinnamon says he would like the beer that's in the weasel. I think it's probably a be a fun thing to have, too. Yeah, and, you know, Mike Steib from Ergo Chef Knives says he would like to have the pizza beer. So there you go. I mean, it's all over the board, so I guess I'm wrong, Jeffy. I guess we haven't gone too far. I guess there's beer for everybody.
There's a beer for everybody in Virginia.
What are you singing jingles for Virginia for now?
I don't know. I just don't want to connect with Virginia. I want people to know that I hate that state.
Why do you hate Virginia? It's a terrible thing to say. That's hurtful. There's a great brewery called Legend Brewing. They make good beer. That's in Virginia. It's in Richmond, where I'm from.
Legends. That's awesome. That's a great movie. Best devil. Best devil in any movie. Legends.
That's true. Well, it's not plural. It's just legend.
What? All right, sure.
No, it's
agree to disagree. I'm pretty sure it's a legend.
We can look it up and find out. It's just legend. It's no S.
The end, whatever. You got to take it to the Google, Matt. You can't just take my word.
Wait, Dave.
Legend with Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy. Were they twins?
Fucking Dave. I was about to make a bet and win some money off Jeffy. Why would you interrupt?
Because you didn't tell me that I was going to get a cut.
Well, you didn't give me a chance. You were all like, I got the info for once in my life. For the one fucking
Tom
time
Hardy.
Ever,
Hold
I
on.
Used Google.
Did you hear what he said? Tom Hardy was not in Legends.
He was in Legend. The Cray brothers?
Tom Hardy?
No, it's Tom Hardy. Movie. He played both twins.
As a kid? Really?
Yes.
No, you're lying. I don't believe that.
Is that true?
Tom Hardy played both of the Cray twins.
I'm looking it up now. I didn't know that. That'd be amazing. What a great movie.
How the fuck did you guys not realize that that's Tom Hardy? You see him twice in the same fucking screen.
I mean, you know this movie is like from 1985, right?
I'm talking about the one in 2015.
What are you talking about? No, Dave, no one even knows what you're talking about. I'm talking about Ridley Scott, the iconic movie Legend from 1985.
Oh, yeah, well, that one is also Legend.
Tom Cruise,
with
Mia
the crazy
Sarah,
devil and the
Tim
horse
Curry.
That gets like all fucking eaten in the... Okay, I know which one you're talking about now.
Yeah. By the way, Mia Sarah used to be so fucking hot back then. I had such a crush on her. Oh my god. Didn't age very well, Jeffy. Did not age well.
Well, sometimes doesn't.
Mm-mm. Did not age well at all.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
I tell you, she's one of the ones I wish did, because she's fantastic. Well, check it out. Dave, when you're looking at movies and when you're talking to us, it's probably not going to be anything made in 2015.
Danielson!
It's still a good movie. You should check that one out.
Nope. I only watch movies from 1985 and before.
1985 and before.
That's right.
Well, whatever.
Well, check it out, you guys. A lot of fun here on the program tonight. Big shout out to Chef Jason Santos. Hanging out. Mark Vaquita wants to do a karaoke night. I feel like he's asking us out or something there. Anyway.
I'll go out with Mark and sing some karaoke.
You would?
Hell yeah!
What would be your karaoke song, Jeffy?
Right off the top of my head, I would probably do Neil Diamond, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon. I'd like to sing that.
Would you really?
Yeah. Would I really? Dude, I'll make the fucking I swoon people. When
Neil
I
Diamond.
Sing karaoke. Yeah, dude. Yes.
And you'll sing the Girl. Whole thing on yourself, right?
I know it right now. I know the words. I know every word of that song.
You know every right word now. Of the song? Like, do you just know it?
Probably.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I think I could pull that one off.
Wow. That would be impressive. If you could do that now, that'd be amazing.
You'll be a woman soon. Love you so much, can't count all the ways I got for you, girl. And all they can say is, he's not your kind. And I try to run me down, and I never know when I come around what I'm gonna find. Don't let them make up your mind. Don't you know, girl? And soon. Come take my hand, girl. You'll be a woman soon. Soon, you'll need a man.
Come on.
Dude, you missed the whole breakdown, bro. That's when it really gets live. That's why I was about to turn up. I would start out in a stool.
I would start out in a stool.
And after the breakdown, I would stand up and kick the stool over.
Wow.
And everyone would be like, holy shit, what's going on? And then they would know, because it would be real.
Wow. Mark Vaquita says, and I'll do it with the right backup singer. I don't know what that means. I guess he didn't like my version I picked. I don't know.
Okay. Me and Mark can go up there and karaoke together, I bet. You know what else I like to sing? Another good one?
What's that?
Hurts So Good.
Really?
Oh, it's a good one, man.
Like who sang? Was that a Brian Adams?
I think it's come John Cougar Mellencamp.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Sometimes love
don't feel like it should.
Hurts so good. Right.
I don't want to. I don't know all the words to this.
Yeah.
Even makes you feel funky on a strut.
It's coming, Jeff.
On a straight strut. Motherfucker, yeah. Ha! Ha!
it's coming, Jeffy. Get ready. Are you standing at this point or sitting?
I'm sitting.
All right. When I said I was a young boy. Ah! You're not singing, Jeffy.
Well, I thought you were going to sing it.
Nah, I got my own songs. I don't sing this shit. This is garbage. I would cheer for you.
This is a good song, man.
Girl like you. All right. All right, here you go. You got to hit the hook for it, Jeffy. The hook. You're the worst karaoke singer I know.
Come on, baby, make it hurt
off.
So
the
good.
The music is off. Honestly.
Don't feel like it should. Ow. They're so good.
Dave, I'm not going to put any more karaoke songs on, but what would be yours?
I don't know. I do like Toadies, Possum Kingdom, or something.
Good one.
Pearl Jam, because I mumble a lot.
Around the lake tonight.
Yeah,
I remember that song. I remember that song.
Yeah. Maybe something from Billy Idol or some Nine Inch Nails. Like, I do a lot of Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, Nine Inch you're Nails is not really the fucker. Best karaoke huh. song.
No,
Nine
man.
Inch Nails? What? There's tons of them. It depends on where you're doing karaoke.
Sing a lot of...
I'm not gonna do it.
Yo, Mike stops chiming in saying goodnight, gentlemen. Yo, we'll talk to you later, Mikey. Round the lake tonight. You guys are terrible at karaoke.
No, dude, that's like a minute and a half. There was nothing to sing yet.
Yeah.
I know that song.
Yes, there was. Around the lake tonight.
No, it starts out with "Make up your mind." That whole part.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the lyrics right now.
I don't know, man.
Decide to walk with me.
We should all do that song together. That'd be fun.
Around the lake tonight.
That's right. By my side. That's a good tune.
Do you wanna die? Anyway.
I'd love to see that, Dave. I would love
I
to
I want to
see
Dave do that.
Yeah, I do too. Is there any karaoke in the Hamptons?
Yeah. Probably not.
There's got
There's open mics. There's a lot of open mics. We can show up with a karaoke machine.
That's what I'm talking about.
My lover being my lover.
Alright, look, let's end this program, gentlemen. Big shout out tonight to everybody on the instant feedback. Thanks for chiming in. Big shout out to our guest, the one, the only Chef Jason Santos. Check him out at Chef Jason Santos on Instagram, chefjasonsantos.com. And don't forget, you can find him on the Paramount Network on Bar Rescue. It airs Sundays at 10 p.m. on the Paramount Network. And, of course, coming very, very, very soon, guys, very, very soon, Hell's Kitchen. Chef Jason is going to be the sous chef. Mark Fakito chiming in on instant feedback. He would do Love Shack, War Pigs. That's his go-to shit. Let me tell you something right now. No man should ever sing Love Shack, Mark Fakito. No man.
I do like War Pigs, though. That's a good one. Sweet Leaf is another one. That's one of my favorites.
Great fucking song. Great fucking song.
That is a good one, too.
Great song.
And Crazy Train's fun.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, that's how it goes.
Millions of people.
That's a good jam. Maybe. Yeah, yeah. I remember I thought I was the shit when I could play that shit on bass guitar. Check it out. Next week, Jeffy, we got a guest next week on this program already lined up, don't we? We're going to throw you for a loop there.
Do we have a guest next week?
I thought we did. Well, even if we don't, let me tell you what.
I think it's. Will. Who is next week? I didn't put it in the calendar yet.
Well, listen, we got another great guest like next week. Shit. But also, don't forget, you can join us live on Station Head if you have an Apple device, whether it's an iPad, whether it's
Ollie's on next week.
Ah, Ollie.
Ollie Horn.
Yeah, new brother. New brother. We're
new good brother, soon. Yeah. Co-founder of the Home Cook Food Marketplace, done a bunch of TV. Cool guy.
Chef Robin chiming in on instant feedback. North Sea Tavern has karaoke. There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
This summer. That's what we're going to be doing.
We're going karaoke. Robin, you're coming with us. I can't wait. Check it out. We'll be live on Station Head next Wednesday night. A lot of fun on last night's show. We had some technical difficulties, but it ended up being a very fun show in the end. And, of course, back here on Spreaker Radio on Thursday with Chef Ali. Should be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Final word. Dave, what do you got for us?
I'm doing the final word.
Go for it. Give us a final word, Dave. Anything.
Let's see.
Final word, Dave. What do you got?
I got nothing.
All right.
Like, from the power of towers, too sweet to be sour. That whole thing?
That was pretty good, though. But just, you know, more like keep your feet on the ground, your hands in the stars, or a great Dave-ism to end the program.
Oh.
Here, let me. I got something I can help you. Ready?
Daniel-san!
All right, Dave. Come on, that's pretty funny. All right, look, Jeffy, final word. What you got?
Listen.
Yeah.
My final word is just love. Love everybody.
All right. Love for everybody. I love that. Listen.
It starts with the love.
In the meantime and in between time, ladies and gentlemen, please remember food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week and Wednesday on Stationhead. Peace.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.